Welcome to the Divine Reconnection Podcast. I'm your host, Lauren.
And I'm Natalie. Together, we're here to guide you through authentic conversations about healing, self-awareness, and building conscious relationships.
On this podcast, we dive into the journey of reconnecting with yourself and your partner, sharing our insights from our own relationship, how we broke up, healed individually, and came back together stronger than ever.
Whether you're navigating love, healing from trauma, or just looking to grow emotionally, this is a space for you. We're all about keeping it real and sharing the tools that have helped us along the way.
So get comfortable and join us as we explore what it truly means to reconnect, mind, body, and soul.
And now let's dive into today's episode.
What's up, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Divine Reconnection Podcast. My name is Lauren.
And I'm Natalie.
How you feeling?
I feel
I
feel better. I'm just feeling overwhelmed earlier, and blocked, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm learning that maybe my brain literally just needs a brain break, and that brain break would be just not having any, like, literally closing my eyes and turning everything off.
Yeah.
And I'm just in, like, the noticing phase. I can't really define exactly why, what, how, but what I am noticing in the past two times that I've done this is, like, when I'm feeling overwhelmed or, like, we're tense or whatnot, I'm like, I need a break, and I go and I lay down and I close my eyes, and sometimes I do drift to sleep,
which is okay.
But then when I wake up and I open my eyes back up, I feel different.
Mm-hmm.
I don't feel the same. Like, it feels like pressure in my head.
Yeah.
And it's very uncomfortable to try to push through. Like, I can push through. I'm used to pushing through that feeling no matter what I'm doing. But I'm learning that I need to rest.
It's funny you say that, because on your end, while you're noticing and you are making your adjustments, on my end, I'm noticing and I'm making my adjustments as well. And y'all, it's very hard to create content. And I say hard, maybe the word I should use is challenging. It poses a challenge to create content, not because the content is hard, because we got content for days, content we haven't even posted yet. But it's hard and it's challenging to come together as two individuals who are on our own separate journeys and who we're figuring out what's effective for us personally. And when we come together, every time we come together, it's like, it snaps us back in. Are we doing what's necessary for us individually? And earlier we tried to record this episode, and I was feeling this tension, or I was feeling this resistance. You know, if you're a couple, you can relate. Like, sometimes it's not cool and it's not good between you and your partner. And then when you bring that to creating content for people or for just your work, you don't want to bring that energy to the episode or the video or whatever you're putting out there. Cause I'm an audience to other podcasts and things like that. I consume a lot of content, and I can tell when people are off. I can tell when they are putting on for just blowing through the content. And I just don't like doing that. And so earlier in our conversation, I asked if there was something we need to speak about and talk about before we push through, before we continue with the content. And so I'm glad that we actually took a break and you realized, like, hey, I need some brain breaks. You know, I may not be able to explain or fully understand what's happening, but I do know that I'm going to ask for a brain break, and I'm going to go ahead and do what I have to do. On my end, I'm noticing that I have to let you do that. Because in the past, in my mind, I'm like, man, I could push through. This is fine. Like, I couldn't quite wrap my head around why you needed a break. And it wasn't like a judgmental thing. I just didn't understand. Mm-hmm. I, you know, when you're stuck in your own way of thinking, sometimes it's really hard to put the other person's shoe on. And so I still don't quite understand, but I let it be okay that I don't have to understand. What I do understand is if she says she need a break, and if I myself recognize that we are dysregulated and it's time for a break. Lauren used to get upset because I got stuff on my queue and I want to get this episode done and I want to push this video out, and I get re upset. I get re mad because I'm like, man, the only reason why we can't get this done is because she upset. You know what I mean? And that to me, I'm gonna say that was ineffective way of thinking about it. That was an ineffective way for me to be a partner to you because I'm a partner to you first and this content comes second. And I think in that sense, I had to, in the past episode, I talked about that we have an assignment to do and we are very clear on our assignment. Sometimes I put the assignment above just being a good human being to you and a good partner to you. So I'm going to ask you a question.
Hold on, I have something.
Okay, go ahead.
I wanted to, you said you're a partner to me first, and then this content comes second.
Yeah.
What, how I would like modify that would be, you are a person to you first. Like,
Oh, that's
I know
no
that's
doubt.
it's a no doubt, but I
Yeah.
think that for me at least, my thinking was I'm a partner to you first. And that's why I need to push through. I need to be able to meet you. And so I would do all these things that would make me feel bad on the inside. But it's like she says that we should push through and we should get this out because, you know, that means that I'm trying or and things like that. So I think what I'm learning is how to be there for myself and yeah, put myself first and be okay with putting myself and what I feel like I need first. Then being a good partner to you.
I'm
And
glad you
then
fixed that up. I'm glad you said that. Although it was understood for me, I think it's clear that I'm excited that you said that and that you cleared that up because that is necessary. Put yourself first and make it okay that you're putting yourself first. And we were actually running into issues when we decided to put the partnership first, before ourselves. So yeah.
I want to say that not only being in a relationship with you is like, you know, that's one level of just stress. Not in a, like it's you stressed, you know, good stress, because it challenges. But to also, we do everything together, including running a business together, and that bleeds and blurs the lines of a lot of conflicts and issues. But it also challenges us a lot as well. And we spend every waking moment of the day mo usually together. And we've always been searching for a balance. Like, how can we balance all of the things that we're holding up together while also not allowing it to negatively affect our relationship and negatively affect ourselves. And so I think that it's just like a continuous journey that we are on. But I really feel like that makes us extremely efficient at listening to ourselves. And like the content comes, right? Like it's gonna come, but we don't forsake ourselves and we don't forsake our relationship for the sake of content, which I feel like a lot of other YouTubers and, you know, couples, influencers
They
do.
may fall into doing that. I don't think they intend to do that, but they prioritize the content
Right.
rather than prioritize how they are.
And then they make it an obligation, they put that ahead, and then it negatively affects their relationship. And I think that we go through bouts of like not even putting out content because we don't feel right. And I think that it's important for us to listen to the energy that's happening in like between us, within us, because if we are off, there's no reason why we need to be pushing through. Like, I think that that's also something that we used to do that just wasn't working. We were putting money and trying to get money ahead. At least I'll speak for myself. I was always like, because I financial instability and insecurity is one of those fears that I work through. I would also get upset at you when you're like, oh, I need to take time for myself. I'm like, we got this stuff to do. But yeah, I just wanted to say that.
Yeah, no, that's an important piece. When you talked about we spend every waking moment together, I think that the season of our relationship that we're in also continuing the last two episodes we recorded, but we talked about it in episode 9 and episode 10 about what season we're in. But what season we're in together is we're learning how to spend quality time with ourselves outside of each other. Like in the past, we would have no problem being together all the time. Like our relationship soared in the pandemic time.
And togetherness, yeah.
Yeah, our relationship and being together and doing everything together and talking all the time together and everything, like it wasn't a problem. And it still isn't a problem. But what I see happening now is we are prioritizing, like, I'm gonna talk to you. We gonna have our time together. But when I wake up, I gotta give Lauren some time. I gotta do my stretches. I gotta do my yoga. I gotta go go outside and take in things. And you do the same. You dance. You bought some fans, and you flow and dance and things like that. We record our separate content. I journal. Just we do our own thing, and that's a difference than what we did in the past. And I think that it's working for us to prioritize. And it's like in the back of our head, we thought that's what we were doing. And so now when we get in our bouts, now we have to do that. Like when we mad at each other or when we not doing good, sometimes I would be extra mad because I'm like, damn, but that's my person. I just want to talk to her. Or like, we ain't talking no more. Like, just I'll be upset because I'm like, well, what am I gonna do? Or I really enjoy doing the things that I like. I got my routine, but I enjoy doing it with you. And so now I'm getting comfortable with doing my routine with me by myself. And it really, really, really helps.
I think this season of our relationship really has, like, the past year where we intentionally left the States, moved to Thailand together, and then have literally been traveling and living abroad ever since. It's been a rebuilding of our bubble and, like, reestablishing our bubble while we're also just kind of, like, staying in constant transition. Like, we're always moving, you know, to a different place, different country or whatnot. But our focus is us. Like, we purposefully have moved away from our family just because individually that's what we needed at this moment. We are purposefully on our own, like, together, because our relationship needed that time for mending, for attention. We needed to not be around people. We needed that time individually for ourselves as well. And I think, like, I'll speak for myself. Like, I haven't really talked to anybody, any of my friends. Like, I don't really, like, there'll be times I'll like send voice notes or something, but it's not a time where I have been calling people just to talk. Like, it's just been a, if I need to talk, I talk to you, you know? And then I call all people who make me feel good, I'll call. But outside of that, I haven't really poured myself outside of this.
And you're saying that has worked for you.
I think that it's worked for me, but I feel like that's what was needed, especially after the past few years that we've had, not just together, but, like, through all the of what we've been through the breakup, through, you know, living in Florida, through moving out of DC, and it just all of the things that has happened up until now. I really feel like that is the space that we this is the space that we have come to. Like, this is a break that our relationship
Need it.
needed. I'm being really selfish with my energy and my time. That's
The
really what it is.
okay, intentional, and this is fine, and
Yeah.
everything's okay. Yeah.
I think like
It's not, because I was like, will your relationships, like, I was thinking, like, are your friends missing you, or
I think
are
everything.
y'all's relationship is strong enough to withstand, like, A, understand that Natalie is actually taking time for herself?
I think that if, I have friends that I feel like do understand. And then if there's anybody that feels negatively about the time that I'm using to step away, or they're reading into it some kind of way, then that's not me, because that's not what I'm doing. I just need a year to myself, and moving in silence has been the move for me. And so I've never been so quiet and so private about my life and what I'm doing, even though we're on social media. But I'm learning that not everybody needs to know what your next move is, because I feel like we talk about this sometimes. There's this spirit of, what is it called? Spirit of
I call it a monitoring spirit.
monitoring spirits. And I feel like there, I have
Let
some.
me speak on that.
Yeah, go ahead.
Monitoring spirits are people in your life, whether they be friends, family, anybody who really feeds off of knowing the business of others. And they really feed off of knowing what your next move is. They want to know what you're celebrating. They want to know if things are going bad. And these aren't, that doesn't make them a bad person just because I'm calling them monitoring spirits. But when you realize that people are just wanting to be around just to collect information, and they're not really around because they want to celebrate you, or they just want to be in your business. And I have identified some monitoring spirits in my life, and they are some close people to me. But I had to monitor myself and say, I'm not going to discuss this part with you, because all you're going to do is go and tell the next person. It's just going to be information when you're bored and you don't have nothing to talk about. And then you're going to be like, oh, Lauren doing this, or oh, she's doing this. I don't want people to know what I'm doing, because monitoring spirits also can sabotage what you have brewing, and what is going. They can sabotage what your next move is. You'd be like, oh, I'm about to buy a new house and blah, blah, blah. And if for some reason, the minute you open up your mouth to say I'm about to buy a new house, then, the closing don't go as how you want it to go, or the buyer will pull out, or it'll be something going wrong.
It's the energy of what the monitoring spirit puts out, I feel like.
Well, not, well, what's your experience with monitoring spirits?
Remember when I had two opportunities at the two I had two opportunities before I was going to come to Thailand, and both of them fell through.
So you think that was a
I
monitoring
think
spirit?
so.
So
I think
tell me about that, because this is my first time hearing
I mean,
about
this
how
is
you feel about this.
I was so excited about these opportunities. I'm not going to specify what they are, but I was so excited about these opportunities that I was telling my parents about it, my family about it, my friends about it. I was telling everybody about it, and everybody seemed like who knew about it had some kind of like input, suggestion or whatnot to make.
Positive. Or it was both positive and negative.
It's not. It wasn't. There wasn't. Nobody was negative. Nobody was out
So just
negative.
positive.
It was positive, and they were excited about me. But there were some people where energetically I could feel like, it just felt like that. And then I remember at one point I was going through a negotiation, like, how much should I get paid for this opportunity? And everybody was in my pocket, and then they were also saying, they were also basically saying, like, you were basically telling me to
Ask for more.
ask for more,
I
ask
always
for my.
push you for your worth. And then
Right.
the other people who was in your ear was saying,
They're like, who are you? You're not a nobody.
no, they were saying you were a nobody.
Yeah, exactly.
You say you're not a nobody. So I was just trying to correct it. You are, they were telling you are a nobody.
Oh,
Like,
yeah.
who are you? You're a
To
nobody.
ask for that, like, you have to start somewhere, you
Yeah.
know?
They were telling you to accept what the offer that they had,
Yeah.
which was to me very low. Because if
Right.
you were a white girl, they would have gave you more.
Right. And so, just that whole experience had me, and then both of them falling through the right at the same time, which opened the door for me to be like, well, ain't nothing keeping me here in Florida. Might as well go to Thailand.
I think God was watching out for you in that situation, in those two situations. And I'm not saying monitoring spirits are they just can't roam free. You actually give them the permission to monitor you. If you're not careful what you're telling people, then you are opening up the door for people to maybe mess with your head and say, oh, who are you to ask for this amount of money? And then here you are,
Second guessing yourself.
you've adopted the energy that they have of self-worth issues, and now you're guessing yourself, second guessing yourself. Like, nah, I'm going to but keep between me and God about what it is that I'm going. Even I keep things from my family, and just I hold off on it until after it actually happens.
That was the ex for me, that was the experience that told me to move in silence. And that's why I have been moving in the way that I've been doing these days.
Yeah, and it's been working out. Well, that's why we don't even, if we go into another country, I don't tell people where I'm going, because half the time I don't know where I'm going, because we on a whim, we doing what we feel. And
Yeah, vagabonds, that's what your brother said.
yeah, my brother called me a vagabond.
Vagabond.
I love it. To me, it's a compliment. Like, I am a vagabond. I am a nomad. I'm living life the way I feel like I should be living it, and I'm enjoying it. What's the best thing about working together and putting out content, everything that we do? What's the best thing?
The best thing is when we do get to a point where we're vibrating high, like, and things are effortless, it consumes us, and it consumes us in a good way. You know, like, it's just like we have really great ideas. It really feels aligned. I really feel like our message and our purpose is out there. The intention is out there. I feel like we speak to our people. And it just feels, everything that we create just feels like an extension of us. I think that that's what's so strong about us working together and us being in a good space, either a neutral or a positive space, vibrating high and just like on the same wavelength. We get shit done and it comes out amazing.
My favorite thing for when we're working together is scrolling back through our content. I love working with you, and I'm gonna piggyback everything you said. When we are on a wavelength where both of us are bouncing off of each other, like, oh, this idea, oh, this, where we're not resisting each other, we're not arguing each other down, saying, well, my idea will lead us here, and my idea, when ego is not in the way and we are together, then it feels so good. We can work for like a month, 2 months, 3 months straight and don't feel burnout. I love that feeling. And it just feels so good. And it really hurts my feelings, or it really like gets me down when we don't have that, when contrast is happening and it's the complete opposite. And I just be like, damn, bro, I love creating with her, but I hate that, this is having us take a break right now, but it's all good. My favorite part is 2 days ago, I was looking through our TikTok content, and I was just smiling, and I was just feeling in my body of the high vibration. I'm rewatching our love story, how we met. I'm rewatching content that we first put out when we first got on the scene of Instagram. I'm just rewatching,
Our journey.
our journey, like, different videos. It reminds me of where we were living, where we were at. Oh, then we was having a good time here. It really just takes me back to why we're doing this. And then I love to see, like, man, we're getting an influx of people and things happening on our page. What are they seeing? And you start going down, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I love our content. I make content for me to just go back and look through. And
And
it's
you don't
like,
even realize that that's what you're doing when we're making it. But
yeah.
I love that we can do that. I think that that is a hallmark of us working together well. And just what we try to birth within our own relationship is that level of positivity, that level of feel good. If you had asked me, what does it mean to vibrate high? Like, scroll down our page and watch our content and see how you feel. when you're watching that content, because that is, we intentionally put things out that make us feel good, that make us vibrate high, that make us, that shifts us in a positive, in a feel good, in a motivational, inspirational.
Yeah, I love. I feel love when I go down our page. I feel respect. I'm like, man, these two women respect each other. Man, these two women love each other. Man, these two women pour into each other. They're vulnerable with each other. You know, like, I don't use relationship goals as something, because you gotta build whatever relationship you want. And this relationship that we got came at a pretty penny. A pretty penny. It came at a cost. It did not start off, I lied. It started off great. It started off damn near perfect. And then about year three is where we got into, like, all right, we need to build these skills. Okay, childhood traumas are coming up. Okay, we gotta. So when we start really digging in there, we already had the surface level stuff. We had a lot of good things coming into this. But when it started to get down to the nitty and gritty, it was challenging, and but it was fun. I would do it all over again. It was hard as hell, but I would do it all over again.
I would say, what is the nitty-gritty?
The nitty gritty is moving to your mama house to help you take care of her, and watching you and what you had to go through. That was the nitty gritty. I had to learn how to be a supportive partner. I had to learn what it means to lean in and say what you got to say, or Lauren, lean out. This got nothing to do with you. Nitty gritty is learning how to communicate. Learning, I had to learn your maze. But what that means is, Lauren, every time you say it like this, you get this response from her. How about we don't say it like this and say it like this? Or another part of your maze is, all right, she doesn't like critiques. How can you get what? Because I'm very direct, I'm very respectful, and I have good intentions, but I'm hard around the edges, you know? And while I'm being direct and I got good intentions, I don't know that I'm reaching a soft spot with you, and you don't like critiques. And that's tied into so many parts of who you are. And so I learned how to, okay, if you want to make a critique, Lauren, you're gonna have to put in a lot of energy to not have her close off and reject what it is you're trying to say.
I think it's all it like you say yes, you put in a lot of energy. It's all I would say it is learning how to speak in a way that's receptive and that's
Yes.
soft to her heart.
Yes. And I feel like every relationship has to do that in some way, shape, or form. It's like, I got some valuable information, but it's not valuable to you if I can't say it in a way that you can receive it. And it don't matter how valuable your message is, if your partner can't receive the value, if your partner or your kids or whoever cannot receive what it is you're saying, then it's time for you to change. I think it was my coach or my mama or somebody. My mom would say to my dad, it's not what you're saying, Wayne, it's how you're saying it. And then my basketball coach was like, it don't matter how I'm saying it, it's what I'm saying. Like, basically, like, so I would get different messaging in that way, but it is. It's not what you're saying, it's how you're saying it.
And then when you're in a relationship, it's learning how to tune in specifically to how your partner is. I think that the skill that you build with me is like I have a soft heart. I believe I have a soft heart
You
that
do.
and I think because you were raised around boys and you were raised in to be a second mama, you speak in that way.
Because I was raised by Lawrence Wayne Pratt Senior, yes,
And
and
you're,
I'm very rough around the edges.
yeah, and so it takes the energy that you're saying it takes from you is you're having to not just necessarily unlearn, but hold back the reins of your natural way of doing things and use more brain power to figure out how to, in a way, manipulate your words so it fits within a it's like a perfect key.
Yeah,
That's
bro, you hit the nail on the head with that one. I'm learning how to build a skill that I did not build when I was younger, and because it serves, it's a challenge to me. It's a challenge. I put up resistance, and I'm like, I just want to say what I gotta say. Why you gotta be so sensitive? But it's not you being sensitive. It's Lauren. You are learning a new skill, and you if you want this person, you're gonna have to learn how to fit it in a certain way.
Yeah.
Coming into this relationship, couples bring in their strengths, and then there's challenges that they have to work on while in the relationship. And so my question is, what attributes and strengths did you already possess that you brought into this relationship?
Always willing to do what's necessary to bring peace. And so at the beginning of our relationship, that looked like people pleasing a lot. And that looked like me catering to you, and I really enjoyed being in that energy because I also loved seeing how it made you feel. But as our relationship progressed and that no longer was working, and really and truly, like our own stuff, our own trauma started peeking through where we couldn't talk to each other, or when parts of ourselves that were still unhealed started showing up, and that people pleasing thing was not working.
Yeah, so, for example, you was we mentioned this in another episode, but you was wanting to cook for me all the time, or you made sure that dinners were made, and I appreciated that and things like that. But I saw that in my household, and my mom was the exact same way, and I saw my dad take advantage of her and be like not return that same. And so I was like, hey, I don't want you to end up like my mom. Like literally, I'm a grown adult. You don't have to do this for me. And so that kind of shifted the dynamic. And you was like, I would ask you, I was like, do you feel like cooking?
Yeah, and for me, that was really the first time that I've had to, or I've been able to sit and look at myself first. And
Wait, let's rewind. When I first brought that to you and you first had to really consider, was that the first time you actually in your life had to consider what you wanted versus what other people wanted?
while I was in the space of someone else, yes.
But has anybody, whether you're not in their space, have you ever been challenged in like, hey, you are really prioritizing other people?
No, not like that. When
Yeah.
I was in Korea, that was the time of span where I could just focus on myself.
Exactly. But I'm
But when I'm in
saying
the space of someone else, I'm always thinking about them first.
that makes sense. And so what was that process like? How was it knowing that, hey, I like peace and I want peace, and peace always equaled me caring about what other people wanted. What was it like working on prioritizing you first?
It was uncomfortable because I didn't know what to do with myself. I would sit and be like, do I want? Like, I think there was a period where, like, I still kind of fell back into just like thinking about you, what is it that you want? And also being like, well, I do want this too, but I want, there was still a level of validation that I was looking to receive from you. And I was building confidence in, I was building confidence in saying no for myself.
You would say no, and I would celebrate you. Like it wasn't a big shift. It was like, yeah, you right. If you don't want to do it, I would ask you many times. I'm like, do you want to do it? And then you started slowly being like, you know what? Yeah, no. Slowly it was like, no. And then it was like, no. And then now you're like, nah, I don't want to do it. And I'm like, as you should, continue saying no if you don't want to do it.
And so I think this our relationship gave me the first grounds of being getting comfortable with saying no. And so that we were talking about my strength and my goal in building in getting to a peaceful place. That also ties into recognizing what I was contributing to not make our space peaceful. I was starting to unlearn people pleasing, which, you know, is still a lifelong process for me.
Yeah.
But another aspect of my strength of keeping the peace is also understanding how was I responding to you when we were having conversations and communicating. I shut down emotionally when I feel overwhelmed. I put up blocks, and it's hard for you to get to me and hard for me to get to you. I want to walk away.
You came into this relationship keeping external peace,
Yes.
and you didn't know what it meant to. You didn't know that keeping external peace was a block from you getting internal peace. Peace for you, and the definition that you had for peace was, I need to make sure that everybody else around me is taken care of, especially if I'm in a space with a person.
But it's also like if she's saying we need to talk about this and she has the ability to talk, I need to sit there and take it because that's what's good for our relationship and that's going to keep the peace between us. That's a
Right. So
different focus.
that's an example of I'm going to make sure that everyone else is taken care of. I'm going to do what they want me to do as opposed to doing what I want to do. So it's if you were emotionally overwhelmed and you didn't want to sit and talk about whatever topic that we were discussing and you wanted to leave, you could leave. Like, but the programming you had was, oh, peace is making sure that people around me are pleased. If I showed to you that I wasn't pleased because I wanted to have the conversation, I wanted to push through, but you're sitting there like almost about to pop and o be overwhelmed, and that wasn't working out for you. And that left you overwhelmed and left us separate. So what I'm saying is, in this relationship, although you had an idea of what peace was, it wasn't true peace because it was only peace for the people outside of you. It wasn't peace for you on the inside and doing what you wanted to do. And so in this relationship, you're learning to prioritize internal peace.
Yeah. So what strengths did you come into this relationship with?
My communication skills, like coming into this relationship, because in my household, we had a lot of topics discussed. We were opinionated. We got to say how it is we felt. And me and my brothers got to talk about how we felt with each other, you know? So I was well versed in that. And it was very jarring to come to this relationship and I would ask you like, hey, well, how you feel about this? And you're like, I don't have an opinion. Or what is it? And I was like, wait, how can't you have an opinion about this? Like, I didn't understand. And so after our relationship, I was getting to know you and I realized like, oh, like, okay, I'm glad I came into this so we can work on this together. Another thing is structure. I'm a logical brain and I like to compartmentalize, and there's some ways where that serves me and some ways that it doesn't serve me. But I've gone through my childhood compartmentalizing things for survival and for me to get through things. But when we're doing our content together and when we're discussing things and when we're planning out what we're gonna do, I notice how it's helpful for me to be structured and have a logical brain. Yeah. How comfortable are you with these current roles or these shifting of roles that we have navigated?
I think I aspire to have more of a dominant role, or not even, it's not even dominant, more of a balanced position where I feel like you could depend on me. I feel like it's, I feel a little insecure in like what you can depend on me for because you are the dependable one. It feels like there's not much that you can fall back on me for.
Really? Really?
You like within, yeah, maybe emotionally.
It sounds like when you say you like maybe emotionally, it sounds like the things that you value, the things that you want to be dependable for, makes you overlook what you are dependable for. Does that make sense? You understand that? Like, you may value financial dependence. Like, you want to be financially stable and you want to just throw money out everywhere and be like, I got this, we're going here. And you may be overlooking the fact that you provide other things. And that makes me sad. That you feel insecure in what it is that you provide because you might be overlooking what it is that you do provide.
Like,
I go ahead.
I want to be able to communicate better. I want to be able to. I think it's like I want to not feel like I am the weight in this relationship.
That's how you feel. And what makes you feel like you're the weight in this relationship?
My resistance, my lack of self-awareness, the difficulty in being solution-oriented.
I think it's important to note a little bit about you because I know you. You are very, you're like me and very hard on yourself. And you are very uncomfortable with not being perfect. Am I right? If something, am I right? You tell me.
I'm very uncomfortable with seeing people disappointed in me.
So, for example, if I say, "Hey, I'm noticing this. Would you can you do this better?" Would that be an example of me being disappointed in you? If I bring something to your attention and I say that you are not perfect at it.
Yeah.
Give me an example.
Or like just that I caused a level of I've caused some your discomfort, your stress, your unhappiness, like yeah, those.
What's that connected to? Is I'm trying to distinguish if that's a relationship thing, or did I am is that situation reminiscent of a past situation?
Well, it's definitely connected to my own. This is part of that trauma that I'm healing, which is the trauma of like the belief, the deep belief of not being enough, and the fear of failure, fear of abandonment.
Because you did something wrong.
Yeah, and I feel like all of those fears and stuff, and how I act based off of those fears. Or what I'm not doing, or what I haven't changed to become more fearless in those realms is the weight that I feel like you're dragging me and us through.
In what ways do you show yourself grace?
I think showing myself grace is a new thing for me, like within this past year.
So you would say it would be non-existent until this past year?
Yeah.
And so what have you started implementing?
Learning to detach myself away from what it is that you're saying. And not like emotionally detached, but more so detach myself from taking it personally and seeing what you're saying as just this is your world and this is what you're expressing within your world, and that doesn't mean something about me. I think that is it's the story that I'm the story and the meaning of the story that I'm taking from what you're saying and applying it or validating or justifying what it is that I already feel and believe about myself. Like, how do I hold space for myself, talking to myself like I would a child and letting it be okay? My first instinct is to do what I've always done, which is, go into this spiral of sad emotions and feeling bad and shame and guilt and all that stuff. But learning to talk to myself in the middle of that. Do you feel like that you're pulling this relationship or holding this relationship afloat or pulling me?
Yeah,
Mm-hmm.
I do. I feel like for me, I'm learning through my past trauma. I have been the oldest I am the oldest, and I have pulled the people around me, or felt that it was my responsibility to pull the people around me. And in a way, this could be that. And I have learned through this relationship to not, like you heard me say all the time, not do your homework for you. Like, if you are upset about something and I've brought to your attention something, when you react, and I know that your reaction comes from your past trauma, I'm learning to not carry that. Like, I'm not gonna be perfect. I don't have that expectation of myself to be perfect. I allow myself to show up as a human being. So if I am sparking something within you, I just let that be. I'm like, she's gonna figure it out. But there are times, that's me now, but there were times in the past where I'm like, oh damn, she's upset. Okay, let me go fix that. I shouldn't, I'm gonna say this wrong. I'm gonna say this better, and I'm gonna do this, and I'm gonna do that. And that drove me crazy. It drove me ragged to not only make sure you okay, but make sure I'm okay. And you know what? I figured out that I'm so great at doing that because I learned how to do that with my mom. I learned how to make sure that her feelings and her emotions, I always felt like it was my responsibility to make sure she's fine. It was always my responsibility to make sure my younger brothers were fine. Always, I was in my parents' relationship. My mom used to confide in me about what's going on and what's this and what's that, and oh, he mad because of this. Like, I learned how to make space for my emotions and other people, but like you. Other people. And so that shows up in this relationship. And so you're watching as you're breaking down your own stuff, I'm breaking down mine too, where I'm like, man, I know that she came into this relationship being a people pleaser. I'm going to make sure I don't contribute to that. So I'm going to bring it up to her attention and be like, hey, you ain't gotta do for me. Go do for you. I am, when I bring up something that you're not happy with or that I'm not happy with, I can't be responsible for how you respond to it. All I gotta do is make sure I'm being respectful. All I gotta do is make sure I am being fair and even toned, and that's it. I can't be responsible for how you respond to it because I carry so much and I feel the brunt of it. And so when you're learning to just like, hey, I'm feeling emotionally overwhelmed. Okay, go do what you gotta do. Because I used to come after you. I used to, like do all those things and make sure it was my responsibility to make sure we're both good. And I again, that drove me crazy.
Seeing how it drove you crazy and ultimately it felt like it drove you away, that is what I'm talking about in terms of like,
That you're the cause of that and that you're the weight of that. But baby, that's not yours to carry either. You're just beating yourself up. Like for me, I see it as I'm in this relationship not because I'm in love. I'm in this relationship because I enjoy self-discovery. I am in love, but I'm not in this relationship strictly because I'm in love. I enjoy learning so much about myself. And for you to unearth in me that I love, or I used to love carrying other people's, I used to measure my strength on the ability of, are you able to hold other people's emotions and coach them through things? And although that's my gift, but I recognize, like you, that when you prioritize other people, that our peace is non-existent. And I was realizing that I need to take better care of myself. Don't I can't be I can't tell you not to, but you just because it feels like I'm carrying this relationship, that's for me to figure out. And that's for you to figure out. Think of it as like we're working through a challenge. We're unearthing our traumas together. Like you figure you feel like you're a weight to carry. That's an opportunity for you to understand yourself and understand, why do I believe this about myself? Am I going to carry this into another relationship? The moment they tell me that something's wrong and that I'm not doing something right, you're always gonna do something wrong. Always, no matter what situation you're gonna be in, there's always room to grow. And so your assignment is to figure out, how do I get comfortable with growing? How do I get comfortable knowing that there's still room for me to grow, that I'm not perfect? That's your assignment. My assignment is to figure out, Lauren, you can't carry everybody. Yes, you want to be a coach, and that's where you can do that. But in this relationship, I'm not carrying us no more. You're gonna have to carry you, and I'm gonna carry me. And that's what I've learned. That's what the second part of our relationship is all about. After we broke up, us breaking up was, I can't carry us no more. I cannot make it my responsibility to govern your feelings about things and my feelings about things. I gotta prioritize me. And when we both prioritize us separately, then we are great in a relationship. What you hear me say?
That us breaking up was more so about you prioritizing yourself and recognizing that you can't hold everything, that you have to hold yourself first. And that it's not about me being a weight. Like it's something that you're working through from carrying everybody. And then on my end, this is me adding, on my end, it's about me feeling like I am a burden if I'm not perfect. And that those are the traumas that we're individually working through. And to see it as a work in progress.
Yeah. And that's all it is. We're learning how to love ourselves. And therefore, we see that love manifested between the both of us. And that's all it is. Like, I love this relationship. This has been the most uncomfortable relationship, but I got to see me. I got to see a side of me. I got introduced to a side of me I never thought that I would be introduced to. I didn't know I could be this soft. I didn't know I could be this beautiful. I didn't know I could be this thin. I didn't know that I could be this
Healthy.
healthy, this well equipped, this well versed in communication. I didn't know that I could be such a great coach. I didn't know I could be such a great cook. I didn't know that I could be a world traveler. I didn't know these things about myself until I got in this relationship. And that doesn't mean that you brought this to me. It's just that you showed me. It was always in me. But you pulled it out of me. You created an opportunity for me to say yes to the opportunity. Like, yes, I'm gonna step into this because I know I could have been this. I just was around the wrong people. You know, I was reflecting a different Lauren when I was around these certain people, but now I'm around her and she's seeing something different in me, and it makes me want to step up. You know what I'm saying? That's why I'm in this relationship. Why are you in this relationship?
I'm judging my answer. That's why I'm thinking so long.
I'm glad you were honest about that. She says she's judging her answer. That's why she's taking so long. It's all
First thing
good.
that I thought of was because I love you. Like, I feel like I moved through love, and from the beginning of our relationship, there's always been this like magnetization that I've felt towards you, and that I've just always wanted to like hold and like nurture and protect and be soft with. So there's a part of me, I guess, that you allow me to be in that aspect, and you accept that from me. I'm in this relationship because my life just keeps getting better.
You in this relationship because you benefit.
I mean, that's what exactly what you said, that there's a benefit that you're getting.
I'm not judging the answer. I'm just saying it like it is.
I mean,
And you gotta defend it. It is what it is. Shit. Show me a person who is in a relationship for not a benefit. Like, show me, point to a person. Everybody's in a relationship because it benefits them. So ain't nothing wrong with that.
I think that the life that I dreamed of, the life that I planned for versus the life that I'm living are two completely different lives, but I feel, but even the life that I'm living that I didn't dream of, I'm so happy and so peaceful in. Your presence is, for many, can be intimidating, but it's intimidating because it's so strong and so powerful. And I think that my presence as well is strong and powerful, but there's parts of me that need strengthening, I feel like. Purposefully, Zenny, she pointed it out immediately. She's like, your throat chakra is like blocked. She's like, whatever trauma is behind that, like that need, you need to purge that out. Do you see how vocal, how communicative, how open, how direct, how opinionated, how strong you are with your voice? There's something this is just one aspect. This is just one part. In a way, you are a goal. And I learned through you, and I learned from you what it looks like to be fully unblocked in some areas. I don't want to say I like that's not why I keep you around. I don't keep you around because you are just, you're an inspiration for me to unblock my chakra. But it's more so like you embody things that I never even knew what it looked like. And you're always a powerful reminder of, like, I know that there's light within me. In some ways, I'm still stand in my own way.
What did Dr. Cheyenne Bryant say when she was talking to Cam Newton? She said, "You attract what you are, not what you think you are." And I think that that's a beautiful, and I agree with that wholeheartedly. And you said that you don't like being a weight. That's a false narrative, right? You're not a weight. And it doesn't matter how I feel and blah, 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 but you attracted me. I attracted you. What's in you is in me. And what's in me is in you. And for us to be together, there is a this time that we're together means that we are watering seeds that have already been there. Your throat chakra is closed temporarily, and it's only closed because you choose for it to be closed and because you don't know what it's, now you see what it looks like for it to be open. I'm just using your example. So, I'm not a goal. I'm you. Figure out what is stopping you. It's not that you're not there yet or that you're not it. You are it. You are the girl. You are it. But you are also dishonoring yourself in ways that you're figuring it out. And so your job is to figure out in what ways am I dishonoring myself? To keep me from being a great speaker, to keep me from being confident, to keep me from being the most healthiest version of myself. You know what I'm saying? Who are the people around me? And as you said in this season, you have chose to close yourself off from everybody, and you are just here with your loved one, with one person, so that you can grow to be who you want to be. And I'm gonna just say you're doing the damn thing. Like you have changed physically, you have changed mentally, you have changed spiritually. Cut yourself some slack. This relationship is the most uncomfortable thing I have ever been in, and I think you can agree wholeheartedly, right? Stick in there. Stay in there. Not for the sake of me, for the sake of you. If it serves you, you are doing the damn thing. It's serving me. I'm here. I'm learning, I'm picking up gems, girl. You doing a damn good job of showing me. And I finally feel like things are clicking. I finally feel like I'm shifting in ways where I don't step on your landmine. And I don't step on my own landmine. And I'm moving through traumas in such a magnificent way. And so are you. And As long as it's serving you, which from the outside looking in, it looked like it's serving you. You know, you when I scroll through your content, from anybody who's looking at us from the outside, this is what we are doing. This is just a glimpse, a tiny glimpse of what work we're doing to be this gorgeous, to be this gorgeous, you know, to be this sound. You know what I'm saying? What you see on the outside is just the manifestation of what we're doing on the inside. I love you.
I love you.
How are you? Thank you guys for tuning in to another episode of the Divine Reconnection Podcast. We are your hosts, Lauren and the beautiful
Natalie.
Yes, and we'll see you for episode 12.